Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God. In the last show, we were talking about this intuitive figuring things out before and understanding what's going on in this process of awakening, where you have an insight that is not based on simple intellectual information. And that this individual was talking about us following our hearts more than our heads. Well, only if our hearts are being written on by God. And the same as a head. He wants to write upon our hearts and upon our minds. That's the prophecy of the Old Testament. We also read that in Hebrews. But in Acts, we see in chapter 28, verse 27, "For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Now this is again, we were talking about this in the last show, how we've had to turn a blind eye to the simple fact that we should be praying to God the Father, not the fathers of the earth, for our benefits, for our free bread, for our bread and our daily care and our health and our welfare. Because their welfare is a snare. What should have been for your welfare has become a snare. Because it was based on the Corban of the Pharisees, which was a Corban funded by forced offerings. Compelled offerings. Wasn't free will. It wasn't the people, the elders of the community, choosing to serve one another. It was a ruler who exercised authority, telling you what you had to give this week, telling you who you had to give it to, how much you had to give, and what you would get back. And you gave power to this individual, and it corrupted him. And even if you come out of the apostate church and you go form your own church, if that spirit is not removed from your heart and your mind, you will have a new pastor as a cult leader, and he will be telling you who you can marry and who you can do this with and what you must do here, and you have to give everything to me, and he will be exercising authority over you. Because you came out of Egypt, but you did not get Egypt out of you. And so the critical, important direction you must go in is the direction that removes Egypt from your heart and replaces it with the Spirit of Christ. And Christ came to do what? He came to serve. What did he consider the weightier matters? Law, judgment, mercy, and faith. What did he tell you to do? Go preach the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What is his righteousness? Thou knowest the commandments. Don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't covet. There you go. Now you got a plan. Now what does that look like? So the hearts of the people have waxed gross. And when you go to town from here, we see how gross that is. If you go to a big city like San Francisco, and I've walked down the streets of San Francisco, I was there at a seminar, and I just went out walking up and down the streets. I used to live in San Francisco. And many years ago, more than half a century ago. But this was probably 25 years ago, quarter of a century ago. And I was shocked spiritually. You know, you can start seeing things spiritually. You can see, like I say, the walls that people put up around themselves for their own protection. I understand that. You can tear down those walls if you come across a pure heart. The walls just melt away. You can pass right through those walls for somebody who's actually looking for the truth. But cities like San Francisco, many of the people seeking the truth, they left a long time ago. And when they left, more demons came in. And the place is just full of demons now. But still, there may be righteous souls living there, just like Lot was living in Sodom. And he was righteous enough that the angels of the Lord had to go in and pluck him out. And so that may be coming up. The need to do that may be coming up because certain places are going to be absolutely, utterly destroyed. Other places will be killing fields, and it will be just horrible. But it doesn't overwhelm us who are walking in the Spirit. We see that, and we know that God's working, and all we want to do is serve Him because our hearts are not wax gross. The heat of His love is melting that wax and changing them. We are being converted as we walk a walk that takes us back to the Father's house. That means that it's not enough to know that the early church was a system of social welfare based on love rather than force. You actually have to become a part of that system, not to obtain benefits, but to give benefits to others, to be of service to others. I know somebody who's on Social Security and it's not really paying her very much because she never made much during her life, and her husband never made much during it because they worked very low-paying jobs. They raised a family and everything, but they get very little Social Security. And they need help often. And very old, very independent. And they need help, and the community helps. Some of their family helps. A couple of their children have died. And they still want to be independent. They want to carry their own weight. And there are things, and we've had situations where they needed help. They needed a roof. They needed insulation. We did it. And instead of paying cash, we said, well, here, help teach this child art or do this for somebody else. And so they were able to maintain their independence and be of service to the community. Then the community would help them out. And if we were to go more in the ways of Christ and actually gather together with other people, I know somebody who actually needs help caring for their parents. And there are ways to bring the spirit of the kingdom into that operation of caring for their parents. They're looking for somebody to help them do that. And in the Living Network, they were sending out that information. I knew somebody who needed a job. In the Living Network, somebody found them a job. And it's people helping people. And coming together with the intention of helping rather than being helped, but often being helped in their desire to help others. So anyway, guess what that does? That does not wax your heart gross. It opens your ears so that you don't have the dull senses anymore. It focuses your eyes on the ways of Christ. That's why you come together, for the purpose of Christ. That's what the church is. The church is an assembly, a community of people that gather for the purposes of Christ. Well, purposes, that sounds a lot like doing. That, of course, is what it's all about. So if you really want to have that intuitive awareness that God can give you, is to know, hey, don't go there, go here, go this, do that. You have to start walking in the ways of Christ. You can't just think a thought. You have to walk a walk. So anyway, in Acts 15:6, we see the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choices amongst us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's Peter. You know, people always talk about that he needed Paul to preach to the gospel to the Gentiles. Well, he already had Peter. Why did he need Paul? Well, actually, that's another whole story. But Peter was also a preacher to the Gentiles. Anyway, he says in verse 8, And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. So he's giving to Gentiles the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the comforter of our nation, our people, which is makes us peculiar compared to the rest of the people of the world. Because they may have a ghost that is guiding them, but it ain't no Holy Ghost. It's another spirit. And you will see evidence of that in the creation. Like I said in several shows ago, is that the evil is poison to the spirit. It dulls the spiritual eyes. It dulls your spiritual hearing. It is poison. And you can tell that that spirit is alive and well because your agriculture, where you get your food, where you scratch the earth and to plant your seeds, it is producing poison, toxic produce that is making you sick and killing you. You've made the chemicals, now you're making the actual seeds toxic and destroying this land that once fed the world. Outlawed in country after country after country, we're letting it in. Why? Because we are so dang self-righteous, it is ridiculous. We are going to fall like you've never seen fall. There's somebody who writes me all the time, is always saying, flee, flee. You know, he's got these secret places that we're supposed to flee to, where you will be safe. No, you have to put on that armor of God that we talked about in the last show. The armor of God is the amor of Christ. I'll say that again. The armor of God is the amor of Christ, the love of Christ. Not the love for Christ, but the love of Christ. You have to love like Christ loved. That's what you have to do to put on his armor. It won't fit unless you do. So if you're sitting around judging the people of Babylon, thinking they're wicked and evil and all this stuff, you're looking in the wrong direction. You need to love them so much that you would give up your own life that they might be saved. That's going to take heaps of sacrifice. It's not about you giving up and whipping yourself. You know, this is a common thing amongst some churches of the past where their ministers would actually flog themselves and wear, rough wire around their legs underneath their clothes to cause them pain, put a tack in their shoe, kind of, a pebble in their shoes so that when they walked, they felt pain. They were inflicting pain upon themselves. That's satanic. I tell you, if you seek to do the righteousness of Christ, pain will come. They will torture you. They will try to attack you, but mostly on a spiritual basis at first. To build up that strength, God will send that first. But eventually, they will test you physically, too. Maybe. I don't know. It's an individual call of God. But to test the inclination of your heart and your mind. Do you really love Christ? you don't need to inflict extra pain on you. You don't need to put extra burdens on you. At first, you may do that a little bit to kind of break the ties with the world. You'll separate yourselves out to help you remember not to do this, that, or the other thing, or be a part of that. Separate yourself out with physical practices. It's like people used to try to quit smoking by wrapping 10 rubber bands around their pack of cigarettes. They'd wrap one way, one the other way, one the other way. And so that when they went to get a smoke, they had to take all the bands off, one after another, and then they finally get down and they could take out a cigarette, and then they had to put all the bands back. And this was a little personal discipline that they did to help them slow down smoking. And it got to be such a hassle, they could either stop doing that or stop smoking. And it was a little trick that they used to kind of bring their attention to, you know, it's like counting to 10 so you don't lose your temper. You had to take 10 rubber bands off before you took your smoke. So it broke the cycle of the habit a little bit. But, you know, some guys continue to do that for years. They just kept putting, and the rubber bands became part of the whole addiction thing. It set the mind into this pattern that I'm going to get a smoke as soon as I do this, and I have earned the right to smoke because I put all my bands off and on again. And that's what modern religion often does with its rituals. But I know another guy who has just had a startling revelation about his own selfishness while driving in the car, listening to the radio, and he put his cigarette out while he was listening. And he was a chain smoker, 2-3 packs a day. It was almost 2 months, 3 months, before he realized he had never smoked again after that revelation in his heart, in his mind. And he had all these packs of cigarettes laying around in his pickup and in his house and everything. And he realized, I haven't smoked. I haven't smoked since that day. The habit gave him up. He didn't have to struggle against it. Because he realized his eyes opened up. And so that's what you want. And when you put on the armor of God, no matter what you wear, no matter how you look, the spirits of evil will see the armor of Christ on you. Because they will see in the spiritual realm. Most people don't see. Most people are like sheep. They don't see. We talked about this in an earlier show where the sheep would go, they were returning out of habit to a pen out in the field that's there, and the gate was just left open, and they would go into that pen because they had eaten there before, but there was nothing left there to eat, and they were eating down the new growth. I had to fence them out. I had to close the gate so they would not go in there anymore so the ground could recover. Because they would just keep going back there. Even though there was another field just a short distance away that is actually closer to where they came from that was full of grass and needed to be eaten down. They kept going back to the original habit. They needed a shepherd to say, no, we're not going there today. We're going over here today. And he led them over by the still waters. There's a little creek flowing through this other pasture. There's no water in the other field. So you have to get them over to this other place. And you guide them. And they're very content over there. But anyway, so this is what Peter is saying. When he's talking to the apostles who are all gathered together, and they were talking about circumcision and following the rituals of Judaism. Now, many of those rituals of Judaism had been twisted by the Pharisees and the people that have gone before them. They didn't understand the circumcision of the heart. They understood the circumcision of the flesh. They were making sure everybody had the fleshly circumcision, but not the circumcision of the heart, because they had substituted the circumcision of the flesh for the circumcision of the heart. What I'm saying is you need the circumcision of the heart. You can have the other one if you want it, but you want the circumcision of the heart. And Peter goes on in verse 8 and says, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." By faith in what? By faith in the Holy Ghost. If they didn't have that faith in the Holy Ghost, it would not have entered into them. He says, "We acknowledge our imperfections and how beautiful it is to be an imperfect version of our true selves. We thrive on challenging only ourselves and not through competition at the expense of another, especially since we have no need to judge those who are exactly where they need to be." This is what this other guy says. I should have made a distinction there when I was reading purifying their hearts by faith. This other fellow goes on to say, "We acknowledge our imperfections and how beautiful it is to be an imperfect version of our true selves." Okay, so anyway, we were talking in verse 9 of chapter 15 of the Acts of the Apostles, that he put no difference between us and them, meaning the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. That faith, again, is the probity of doing what the Holy Spirit is putting upon our hearts. And the Holy Spirit only can do that if we consent to receiving that Holy Spirit. And we can only consent to that when we come into conformity to the character of Christ. But this other fellow who's listing off these signs of awareness, Josh, goes on to say that we acknowledge our imperfections and how beautiful it is to be an imperfect version of our true selves. Now, I'm not really sure what he means by that, but we do need to acknowledge our imperfections. We need to see that we are not the source. We cannot guide ourselves. We cannot figure it out ourselves. That is one of our imperfections, is that we saw that, or we thought that we could figure it out ourselves, that we could design our own path. And we have only one choice before us, and that is to follow the leading of the Creator or not. That is our only choice. The illusion of choice comes when we think that we can decide for ourselves what is good and what is evil. And we can't. So we should take delight in that, is the fact that we are imperfect. We cannot pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We cannot change ourselves. We cannot be converted of our own initiative. We can repent, submit, and allow God to convert us. If we don't, we will end up submitting to evil, and it will convert us into its image. And just as it cannot see the righteousness of God, because it has turned its back on God, neither will you be able to see the righteousness of God. And you will call the righteousness of God evil, and you will call the evil of those who reject God good. You see, so our real battle is not to say that we believe in Christ, but to conform to the character of Christ. That is doing things in His name. The name of Christ is the character of Christ. That is what identifies Him. Not, you know, six letters. That doesn't identify Him. Because there's a guy down the street named Jesus, and that ain't Jesus. Nice guy, but it ain't Jesus. It's somebody else. We need to conform to the character of Christ. And that will begin the process of changing us. And then He's going to talk about how other things have changed. And we'll do that when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom after this break.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hishollychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hishollychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hishollychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does He really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. In Matthew 14:26, it says, "And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But in Romans 8:15 it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption." So you have this talking of spirit and fear. Now, of course, in Matthew 14:26, Christ was not making them afraid. Their imagination was making them afraid. They were afraid of a spirit. Why were they afraid of a spirit? Because they were men used to living in the physical realm. To be in the spiritual realm was something that was remote to them. If you read in Haggai, it says, "According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not." The fact is, the Spirit of God has not remained amongst us. The spirit of Egypt has ruled in its stead, and now we have returned to Egypt. So anyway, this Josh fellow talking about this idea of awakening, he gives us one of his items, watching television or most of the mainstream media, including newspapers and many of the Hollywood movies, is very distasteful to us. And it always seems to me that they'll make some movie that's just a story form of, you know, telling the story. And they'll do a remarkably good job of it, but they have to put in something seedy. And, you know, because they don't want a G rating, supposedly, because that's supposed to be bad. But there's actually another spirit that's moving behind there that's getting them to do that. And that's what often happens with many people in their conversion. And we'll talk about some of the signs of that later on. And you'll be surprised. I mean, what happened to the people who stole the Ark of the Covenant? What did they happen to them? They were afflicted with emrods. What's an emrod? What's that all about? And it's really kind of interesting, but we'll talk about that later. But this idea of a lot of things that used to appeal to you wouldn't anymore. And we talked just about the fellow who just stopped smoking. He didn't. That need fell away. It didn't have control over him anymore. And this fellow is talking about television and the media and all these things that it commodifies the people and promotes violence and it reduces our intelligence and numbs our natural empathetic responses to someone in pain. And of course, we've seen stories or where people have, you know, kids have murdered their classmates or people that they knew, stoned a girl to death, and somebody else killed somebody. And they actually, when being interrogated, they admitted that they did it, but they said it was like it was happening on the movies. And it isn't really watching the movie that does this, although there's certainly a lot of corruption out there and should watch very carefully. It is the spiritual thing, spiritual covering, that people are lacking. And the fact is, you won't need to see certain things if that spirit is strong in you. And so there is a certain value in fasting from some of these things for a period of time, so that, because they're overwhelming. But if you create taboos and rules, now you've brought in this character of Cain. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. It's kind of like, I've seen this with Jehovah Witnesses. I've seen it with some of the Baptists where, oh, you can't do this. You can't do this. Can't do this as the kids are growing up. And then when the kids get out on their own, they go crazy because all the restrictions on them were not based on love, but they were based on the power and control of the parents over the children, because the parents were moving from the spirit of Cain rather than the empathy of Christ and the love of Christ. If the love is not there, if the love of Christ is not there, I mean, there's different kinds of love. If the love of Christ is not there, whatever you do will be contaminated somehow. Evil will find a way. You know, there's the phrase in that life finds a way. Well, death finds a way too. You have to put on the full armor of God. So anyway, he talks about natural empathetic response. Well, I don't know. What's a natural empathetic response? You want God's empathy, because God is going to balance his empathy with law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So you have to be very aware of any self-righteous condemnation of the world, because it's going to draw you into it's a leaky boat. You know, you're setting sail on a sea of iniquity, and you're in a leaky boat because you're out there judging others. All you have to do is love others. In his item 6, he says, we no longer have a need to attach our love to material things, understanding that it only leads to misery because we are not learning to love ourselves and others. God gave us this planet. He gave us dominion over it. He gave us dominion over the land and over the plants and over the animals. We should love these things. It isn't that, you know, and again, I don't know what he's trying to express, but there isn't anything wrong with material things. The land you walk on, the things you eat, the things you bless them with your love and the love of Christ, if your love should be the love of Christ. You bless all these things. You purify all these things. The desire to possess things for yourself is a problem. Desire to possess things for the love of God is good. If God wishes to make you rich so that you can help others, and you know what it is to help others, which isn't necessarily to feed everybody who's hungry, but to feed the righteous. And how do you feed the righteous? You teach them how to be more righteous. You give them the power to do more good. Israelites were, even though they were traveling around and they were these Hebrew people for a while, they were wealthy when they came into communities. They accumulated wealth and health and well-being. Health is a form of wealth. Should we not desire health? There's nothing wrong with material things and having material things. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money. You think, I get rid of money, I get rid of things, and then I'm going to automatically love others? Not necessarily so. Now, there's a point of fasting to test the inclination of your heart, but you're not to be the tester. Let God do that. You need to learn what it is to love others, and the beginning of love is to serve the righteousness in others, not to serve the unrighteousness in others. You don't necessarily give a house and food to somebody who is not fully immersing themselves like Adam and Eve in the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of love. You don't want to be encouraging that unwillingness to submerge yourself in the Spirit of love and service, where you are the current of love and giving life. So this is why you gather together, so that you can walk that walk, not just talk the talk. That's why I'm amazed at religious services when they gather together. All you want to see is one guy talking up in the front. That's crazy. It isn't about talking. It's about walking. Real religious service requires actual services to be performed. We've turned the word service into meaning everybody sits in a pew and does nothing. Provides no service to anybody. And they say, oh, we had a good service. You had a good moment of escaping from being of service and talking. That's not service. Because all you were trying to do is create an emotional feeling of self-righteousness. Because we're all in this church. I mean, can you start seeing, I have a flash on many of the churches. Everybody's there to feel righteous. Nobody's there to do righteousness. It's just absolutely, they are completely blind. And walking into those churches is like walking into hell. Now, if you walk into them with the full armor of God, you can create quite a ruckus. Love of things is often love of self, true, because you want things because you're compensating for the lack of love of others. But once you love others, there's nothing wrong with things. And you should love things with Christ's love. And I've given the example. My cat, I say my cat, you don't really own a cat. We just happen to eat the mice in the barn. Our cats love birds. And people love things the same way. They love them because they want to possess them. They don't really care about the thing. They'll sell them in a moment to get more things or the things they rather have. Yes, and that love of things is a distraction, but you're looking for the distraction because you're not looking for righteousness. This is why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you need to be looking for. Nothing evil about things. Nothing evil about wanting things. You should want things so that you may bless them and bless others with them. If you didn't have things, what do you have to give away? There is a certain place for walking in faith, but there's another place where we are walking in foolishness. So anyway, number 7, he says, lying to us is nearly impossible. Well, I don't know. I see people lying to me all the time. But successfully lying may be very hard. And I could say it's impossible because that would be too vain. The devil is very good at deceiving. But you start hearing people say things, and he's lying. I always remember the first time I heard Bill Clinton, who's not the president, so I can speak about him now. First time I ever heard his voice, I was like three rooms away, actually. And it was on a TV in another room at somebody else's house, because we have no TV reception here. And I heard this voice, and I thought, that's an evil person. I couldn't make out a single word he was saying. But I said, evil is speaking through that voice. And I shouldn't say I thought of him as an evil person because I didn't know him as a person. But I knew that evil was working through him. I actually believe that Bill Clinton will repent. I don't know. He's been used all his life. And he has been used by evil. Lots of people in politics are used by evil. Evil is drawn towards people of power. But the reason those people are in power is because there's evil in all the people. Because they keep electing them. They can't see anything wrong with them because they actually admire them. They want to have that power too. And the way the system works is they'll give you power over all these people. Say they'll make you a DMV bureaucrat or a policeman or or somebody who can exercise authority over others if you let me exercise authority over you. And of course, that was the temptation of Christ. The devil says, I'll give you this kingdom and you can rule over it if you bow down and let me rule over you. And he said, no. But most of the people who call themselves Christians today, they say, yes. We will give you the power to rule over us if you, somebody wrote me today, I saw him send it, and I think the world of this individual, so if they're listening, don't take this as a criticism, because I know where their heart really is at, although everybody needs a little washing now. But they said, if Christ, I can't even remember what it was now, but it was about so-and-so may be the president, but Christ is still the king. Do you want to have a president between you and the king? Someone who can tell you, see, the kingdom of God is the right to be ruled by God. Most people don't have the right to be ruled by God because they have given the power to other gods, small g gods, to rule over them. And they have done this to obtain benefits. Now, many people, their heart really wasn't to get the benefit. They were just trying to, because they were, as was Minker's case, they were cunningly coerced into waiving their rights because of a legitimate desire. This is an exact quote. Legitimate desire to do what they believed was a lawful, obey what they believed was a lawful command. And so they signed up for things because they thought, well, that's what we're supposed to do. And it's not. And they weren't thinking of the benefits. They weren't thinking of the comfort. They're actually very self-sacrificing people. But they are trapped in the world, and that's why God says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that those people might be saved. He's not trying to save the people who hate the righteousness of God, who love evil. He's talking about those people that they thought something was for their welfare, and they actually signed up to be of assistance to other people. They wanted to pay in to take care of the widows and orphans and the needy of this society. And they said, well, how do we do that? Well, you have to sign up. And so they signed up. They didn't realize that what they were signing up for was a snare. But how do we know one from the other? Because they both look like they've done the same exact thing. God knows the heart. And so on a spiritual level, we need to communicate with those people, which may come in the form of me breathing out words in their direction. But really, the spiritual connection is exactly that. It's a spiritual connection. It does not necessarily involve any physical words, but it will involve physical action. They need to see that you are sacrificing for them, or doing the things of Christ for them, because they do believe, but they need help with their unbelief. So they will still lie to you. People of the world will still lie to you. But what really shows an awakening is that they find it difficult to lie to you. And actually, when you bring the Holy Spirit into the presence of people like, policemen or judges, people who have positions of power, where they're used to everybody bowing down and serving them, and you bring the Holy Spirit with the full armor of God into their presence, their ability to act will decrease, like the fellow I was talking about who was tasered and got up and ran away. If he was really receiving the Holy Spirit as he should be. Now, he might be partly, but then he's got a leaky boat. He still has anger and resentment. I could hear it coming out of his mouth. If he could come to peace with that and not have the anger and resentment, they couldn't even put their hands on him. So he wouldn't need that superhuman strength that allowed him to jump up while he was being tasered and escape them. They would have fled him. They would have said, have a nice day. Don't want to have anything to do with this guy. There's something about him. I don't get it, but he makes me nervous. I don't want to be around him. Well, you're a cop. What the heck? Why? You think there's something wrong with him? No, it's not like that. And I'm actually partially quoting here. They don't want to touch him. They don't want to lay hands on him if he's really full of the Holy Spirit, unless God wants him to be arrested. And then that will happen. Maybe he needs to learn something. Maybe he needs to take a message to somebody else who's in jail. I don't know, and that's the only way he can get in. Who knows what it is? God works in mysterious ways. But you will also find some of these people actually telling you the truth. And, you know, we used to go to court with people who'd get into trouble, sometimes through no real fault of their own, just the system was eating them up. And you bring the Holy Spirit into there, you will find people telling the truth, but it doesn't do any good. They'll tell the truth, nobody will hear it. You have to have the ears to hear, but there'll be some reason why you're there. And it's usually for somebody else, you see. And it doesn't have anything to do, how did you get there? Drove it in a car. A car's a thing. Did you love that thing? No, I don't even remember what car it was. But I used that thing out of love to go and be there for somebody else. So there's nothing wrong with bringing love to things, to bless things, and to receiving things so that you may bless others. You don't want to be just somebody who lives off of the life and sweat and toil of others. You want to be blessing and enriching everyone. The Israelites, like I said, were rich, wealthy. There wasn't anything wrong with that. It's not you having stuff. It's the stuff having you, motivating you, controlling you. So anyway, number 8, we can get to that. We may pick up symptoms, he says, of your cold, just like men who get morning sickness when their wives are pregnant. So what's he talking about? He's talking about sympathy pains. You know, somebody was talking to me about how they noticed that when people, you know, and they're awakening themselves, they're not waking themselves up, they are themselves awakening, and they still got a long ways to go, but they noticed that when they were around certain people, they would get a pain, or they would, and they thought, like, there was something, what's wrong with me? They were trying to, but they realized what it was they were getting a kind of a psychic imprint of that other person in them, so that they knew that that person had a problem, a pain, a fear, an anxiety, whatever it was. It was sometimes it was physical, but sometimes it was an emotional pain. And at first they didn't identify what it was, and then they realized that this was the way in which God is telling me what their problem is. But you still then you have to, you don't want to get carried away with that, because you want to have God give you the words and the deeds that you need to provide that person. And there are some people that are natural healers. They have this natural sympathetic thing, and they can just touch a person and they will know what's wrong with that person. They will feel their pain. And that's because there's an empathetic connection, but that's also a very dangerous connection, because now this other first individual I was talking about, he realized that he needed to pray and give that pain to God and recognize where it came from. And then he could actually go and help that person until he accepted the message with the love of Christ. That's why I say go to the pain. It's a message to you. When you feel pain, it's a message to you. Sometimes it's about you. You know, like you just sat on a tack and you feel pain. That was a message. Bless that tack. It gave you a message. It said, I'm sharp and you're sitting on me. So you jumped up. So that was a message. But now what happened if you're feeling your neighbor's pain? That's a message too. So now what do you do about that? You need to go to God to know what you're going to take to Him. Because you don't want to take yourself. You want to take the righteousness of God. And we'll talk more about these things next time on Keys of the Kingdom. Until then, may peace be unto you, and God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.